everyone, welcome along to the latest edition of the Darts Podcast as we get stuck into the World Match Play second round with four matches this evening on Tuesday evening and four matches on Wednesday evening. As per usual, Sky Sports commentator John Gwynn joins me on the line to look ahead to the darting action. First of all, good morning, John.
Good morning, David.
How are things?
Very well, thanks, yes. Freshened up by a bit of rain. And the tournament's going extremely well. Some terrific games, all the first round now completed. And remarkably, I don't know when this last happened, if indeed it has happened before, we haven't had a situation where we've had to go beyond the requisite number of legs in order, because a player has to win by at least two clear legs. And that hasn't happened. It's been won by 10 whatever, every single game. I think that's probably a first.
What's the standard been like so far, John?
I think that the standard's been mixed. There have been some excellent games. Taylor shone with that 103 average. Hamilton last night was quite brilliant, particularly his throwing at the doubles, but he was brilliant. Cavan had a burst of fine play. So too did Newton in the first half of his match with Cavan. He pit 180s for fun during one session of the game, six in next to no time. Then it dried up. The standard's been excellent in some cases, but you'll see a lot more averages have been attained in the 80s than normal, and I put that down to the extreme heat. The players who struggle from, shall we say, heavy perspiration because of the extreme heat haven't performed as well as they might have done. Barney alluded to it the other night. I think Lewis last night was disappointing, although he won, mainly because of the heat. Mervyn King fell, by the way, without really a serious challenge. Again, I think it was the heat. I think that's the reason why. Yes, I'd say a mixed bag, some excellent performances, but some not so good ones as well. And in many cases, that's resulted in the player going home.
I like the diplomatic way you put it, John. Those that suffer from the intense perspiration, I like that.
Yeah, well, it's a way of saying, you know, the lads who are overweight, frankly. And I've said it on commentary after Barney's interview when he said that, you know, I suffer from the perspiration, and when it's very, very hot, darts, we should play it in winter. He wasn't complaining. He was merely making the statement. And then he said, Phil Taylor always seems to stay cool and he never seems to... Well, Phil Taylor's just lost a stone and a half of weight. And Phil Taylor's a naturally, heavily built guy, but he does try and keep himself looking as trim as he can. And being physically fit in those conditions gives the player an immense advantage.
And John, I'm well aware, and I'm sure many people in the darting fraternity are aware, that this is your last commentary gig for Sky Sports. What are your emotions going in? What were your emotions going into this week, and how's that progressed as the tournament's progressed?
Well, at the start of the week, I'm coming to the Winter Gardens for the last time, and I shan't be doing any more. But you just get on with the job, and I've enjoyed the games that I've done so far, particularly the Newton Cavan one. But now, as we start getting towards the end of the week, yes, it does begin to hit home that I've decided to hang up the mic, certainly for the time being. Whether I turn up elsewhere on another channel, I don't know. Certainly, I've not made any sort of gestures towards that. But we'll see. I've even had it suggested to me that I go back with Sky from time to time as a guest commentator. The reason I'm leaving is because I've been dissatisfied with my lot in the last 2 years, 18 months. That would seem a rather silly thing to do, bearing in mind the reason I'm leaving. But time heals things, and, you know, one's perspective perhaps changes a little as time goes on. And we'll see what happens in the future. But, yeah, I think the prevalent mood, prevalent feeling is one of genuine sadness because I've had 20 amazing years. I think it's also influenced by the fact that I do feel as I've got a lot of life left in me and a lot of good commentary left in me. But it's better to go with something in the tank than to stall empty.
John, I know you. We talked off air that you're only commentating on the one match, the last match of the evening. That's because you've got your horse running at Bangor today.
That's right. Gulf Punch is in the 7:15 at Bangor. She will have relished the heavy rain that fell overnight, assuming it has at Bangor. And I think it has over most of the north, northwest of England. I think where you are in Yorkshire, it has as well. And yeah. And therefore in North Wales, in just over the border near Wrexham, of course, is where Bangor is. And that will have helped her cause. I think it's a pretty small field, but I'm hopeful that we might get our first victory of this year out of her.
9-1 she is.
Yes. And how many runners are there? I haven't had a chance to look yet.
5 runners, John.
Yes. That's what I was told last night by Donald McCain's assistant. Mm. But if she's 9-1 in a field of 5, then she might still be worth my colleague.
Yeah, you can have a few quid on her.
Yes. Well, I can use the money that I won backing Phil Mickelson at 20-1 on Sunday morning.
He was great, wasn't he?
With William Hill, yes. He was outstanding, unbelievable. Sadly, I didn't get the chance to see much of it because, of course, I was working on the darts. But he's a real old war horse and a tremendous, tremendous role model for golfers, indeed sportsmen everywhere.
Yeah, we start off this evening. Let's get stuck into the action then, John, because we've got 4 matches tonight and we start off with Raymond van Barneveld versus Justin Pipe. Raymond van Barneveld is in the betting at 2-7. Justin Pipe is in the market at 5-2. Barney, obviously all quality, comes up against Justin Pipe this evening. What do you make of this game, John?
Well, I think there's a danger that Raymond van Barneveld might disappear from the competition here. He so desperately wants to win the World Match Play. He'll be hoping that this change in the weather is a rather more permanent one than the forecast suggests, and that things cool down a bit, because he alluded to the fact that it was so, so hot up on that stage. Whereas Justin Pipe, who every other day does a 8-mile run, I think, 4 miles out and 4 miles back, looks after himself, keeps trim, and I'm convinced that that's the key to being able to hold yourself together on stage in the most difficult conditions. And Justin Pipe was excellent in his first round win over Mark Webster, although Webster, of course, had that injured foot. But Pipe still played very well, and I wouldn't be surprised if this was Justin Pipe's night. He's seeded 9, Barneveld seeded 8. Actually, by winning this match, Pipe would go above Barneveld in the rankings, and Barney would be slipping dangerously closer to going out to the last 16. There's little time yet, but he just needs to pick up a bit. I'm not sure that tonight is going to belong to Raymond van Barneveld. I'm going to take Justin Pipe to win this one by 13 legs to 10.
13-10 to Justin Pipe, 18-1. If you want to be a little more cautious, we've got loads of betting markets on the William Hill website. Justin Pipe plus 3.5 in the handicap is in the betting at 10-11 as well. You can also back Justin Pipe most 180s, highest checkout, and to win the match, which is in the betting at 16-1. Plenty of markets on the William Hill website. As you mentioned there, hopefully the weather might have turned for Barney, but he's not the Force of old, is he, John, now?
No, ironically, Justin Pipe's nickname is the Force. I suppose he's the Force of new. No, he's not. I mean, he was excellent last November when he won the William Hill Grand Slam, and he's played well since. There's no doubt about it that Barney is much more at ease with himself and enjoying his darts more than he was prior to that particular success. And but he has been in America for 3 weeks, didn't pick up a dart, really failed pretty miserably in the European Championships. I don't think that meant a lot to him. This tournament does. I just feel that, added to the fact that he's going to have longer as well to stand and dwell on matters, because Justin Pipe is one of the most deliberate players on the circuit, Barney's going to be standing waiting with his negative thoughts if things start to go wrong. And that can only exacerbate things. So, I mean, but Barney winning is what people want, because he is an entertaining player. He's a wonderful player to watch when he's on form. There's nobody better. But Justin Pipe's a gritty, determined, very efficient, very capable character.
There's a huge disparity in the prices between the two as well. That's what makes Pipe such an attractive betting proposition at 5-2. Huge disparity in the prices.
That is a huge price in such a game where there's so little between them in terms of their current rankings. I'm not saying it's a 5-6 game. I think he's right that Barney should be favourite. But I would suggest that the real price for Justin Pipe should be something like 13-8, 6-4. So it does represent value, in my opinion, and indeed in yours.
Simon Whitlock versus Kevin Painter is the second game on the hockey this evening, scheduled for around about 8:10. Simon Whitlock is 1-3, and Kevin Painter is in the betting at 9-4. Both had tight first-round matches, John. Simon Whitlock came through 10-8 against Jelle Klassen. And in the Kevin Painter match, he beat the debutant Jamie Lewis 10-7. Again, tough match to call. Whitlock a heavy odds on favourite.
Yes, I think Whitlock was coasting it, wasn't he, against Klassen, and then the Dutchman came back at him. And one felt in that game that somehow Whitlock, having built up a commanding lead, was never really too worried about the original outcome. But of course, we all remember an amazing fight back 2 years ago when Hamilton was dead and buried and came back at Whitlock from 15-8 down to beat him 17-15. So that still lingers in Whitlock's mind. But Whitlock's done it himself. He's come back. He beat Jamie Cavan in the European Championships, having been well behind. I think Whitlock, the fifth seed, does have the measure of Kevin Painter, although I was very, very impressed with the way Painter shook off the challenge of Jamie Lewis, young Welshman, who really impressed me. I think we'll see a lot more of this lad in the future. It was 10-7, but Kevin Painter showed what he's made of in threatening situations, and I was very impressed with him. But I don't think he's got the game to beat Whitlock tonight, frankly. I'm taking Whitlock to win this by 13-8.
Whitlock to win the match 13-8 is in the betting at 15-2. Next up, it's Phil the Power Taylor versus Terry the Bull Jenkins. Taylor 1-12, Jenkins in the betting at 6-1. Taylor chasing his sixth successive victory in this event. Just seems to love it at Winter Gardens.
Yes, and didn't he throw well in that game against Stuart Kellett, even though Kellett, on his debut, was as nervous. He was a rabbit in headlights, and Taylor won 10-1. But Taylor still had to do the business. He played the board, got 103 average, the highest in the first round. And he does have the measure of Terry Jenkins, who's a determined, gritty performer, a very, very good player, and one who no player who plays against him takes for granted. He had rather all his own way against Andy Smith. At 3 apiece, one thought we're going to be in for a cracker, but Terry won 10-3 and produced play that I haven't seen from him for a while on TV, and he's going to have to do it again against Taylor. In fact, he's going to have to up the ante. I can't see Terry Jenkins winning this one. I can only see Taylor marching into the quarterfinals by 13-5.
13-5 to Phil the Power Taylor in the betting at 6-1. And the last match of the evening, the match that you're commentating on, probably the highlight of the evening as well, John. James Wade versus Gary Anderson. James Wade in the betting at 8-15. Gary Anderson is in the market at 11-8. Anderson coming through 10-5 against Mervyn King in his first round match. And James Wade just edging out John Part 10-8. This should be an absolute belter.
Yes, Wade was more of an arm wrestler with Part. Wade had quite a tussle with the Canadian, who's now joined us in the commentary box. So it's always nice to hear John's voice. He's commentated for many, many years, of course, on BBC. Doesn't now, but anyway, he said to me, "I prefer to be playing than in here." But I suppose this is a happy consolation. And anyway, I'm going to be commentating on this game with Stuart Pike later on. James Wade, seeded 4, had to work against John Part, but Wade is capable of digging out a result. Whereas Gary Anderson was magnificent against Mervyn King, who really didn't enjoy the conditions. He found the heat far too much, and he didn't play well at all. We never really got anything out of Mervyn King. But Gary Anderson looked very impressive, and the beautiful thing about his first round 10-5 victory was the quality, not only of his scoring, which we come to expect, but his finishing. Very, very alacritous on the doubles, and good to see, because when his all-round game is together, he's a threat to anybody. This is the toughest of the night to call, to be honest. And I rather think that Anderson might have the advantage playing as late as it's going to be. It's going to be a sort of midnight finish, or maybe beyond. 4 games, best of 25 legs. Certainly it's going to be a long night. And I rather think Gary Anderson's progress may well continue here, but I'm not saying it with the degree of certainty that I have the previous matches that I've predicted. I'm going to take him to win it by 13 legs to 11.
Ooh, 13-11 is in the betting at 11-1. John, I suppose this game could be one that goes beyond the distance, perhaps.
We haven't had one yet, so there's going to be one somewhere.
what about Anderson? What about his psyche? Because he can either play brilliantly one day and dismally the next. He does seem to be one of the more eccentric players out there.
Yes, David. The thing about Anderson is that he's perhaps the most mercurial player of all of them, because he can be so brilliant at times, and then other times he can be so very, very frustrating. He generally hits the scores, but there are occasions when missed double-itis sets in, and of course his game goes to pieces. That wasn't the case in the first round, and it may well be that he'll get it together again for Wade. But he is an incredible character, a wonderful player, who's out of the top 16. He came into this tournament unseeded. That's unbelievable for a guy who was in the Premier League not so long ago. Anyway, that's the way it goes. He and Wes Newton, of course, finished bottom of the Premier League and never got to the later stages of it, did they? But he's a capable player.
On to Wednesday night's matches then, John. Andy Hamilton kicks things off against Ian White. Andy Hamilton around about 4-11. Ian White in the betting at 2-1. Interesting match this one. And Andy Hamilton, I presume, John, deservedly favourite.
I think so. Particularly after his performance against Ronnie Baxter. 10-1 does tell the story there. For more than half the game, their scoring was very little between them on the averages. But every time Hamilton got presented with a double, he hit it. He hit double 16 5 times and only needed 5 darts. So commanding was his finishing that Baxter never got a look in. And the result looks worse than how Baxter actually threw, but the fact is that Ronnie, when he did have the chance, and there weren't many of them to hit a double, was very poor. I suppose that's the pressure that was put on him. But Hamilton was brilliant. I thought he was superb the other night. But so too was Ian White. He came up against a lacklustre Robert Thornton, who couldn't hit a double to save his life. And Ian White's a very capable performer. These two lads know each other very, very well. I was at a charity do in Stoke with both of them and one or two other players from the area only a month or so ago. And they're good friends. They know each other really well. But I've got to take Hamilton because he's so rock steady. He'd set his stall out so, so well the other night. And if he comes to the hockey again in that mood, I can't see Ian White, who tends to blow hot and cold, really staying with him. So I'm going to take Hamilton to win this. Well, let's just say
13-9 to Andy Hamilton in the first game of the evening on Wednesday night. We move on. 8:30 start time for Adrian Lewis, who is 1-5 to beat Brendan Dolan, who's in the betting at 100-30, John.
Yes, and good to see Lewis making progress. It was never going to be easy against Ronnie Hybrex, but he took care of him. But with an unconvincing average, Lewis, 88 average. And I go back to what I said at the beginning of our conversation, where there have been some indifferent performances, even though they've been winning ones. And I put it down to the conditions that prevail in the Empress Ballroom. And Lewis, a great friend of mine, love the lad to bits, but it doesn't deter me from saying, could do with losing the stone and a half that Phil Taylor's lost and putting some work in on that, because it's in conditions like this in high summer when temperatures are high, that they're higher than ever on the stage, that players need to be physically ready as well as mentally ready for the contest. Brendan Dolan, well, turned the screw on Steve Beaton simply by slowing the game down. Lewis expects him to do the same against him. And that only exacerbates the situation. If you're perspiring, if you're finding it difficult because of the heat, then people like Brendan Dolan, people like Justin Pipe, will make the most of it. And got to go with Lewis in the end because he does have the class, he does have the quality. But it ain't going to be easy. And don't be surprised if this game goes to 12 apiece and the referee says now it has to be won by two clear legs until it gets to 16 apiece and then it's sudden death. This may well be one of those games, David. But I'm going to take Lewis to take it by the narrowest of margins.
Lewis in extra time in that second match of the evening on Wednesday night. The third match is Michael van Gerwen versus Peter Wright. Michael van Gerwen 1-7. Peter Wright is in the betting at 4-1. Michael van Gerwen second favourite to win the whole thing this week, John, on William Hill's updated prices. And he takes on Peter Wright and 1-7 to win this match, MVG.
Yeah, Peter Wright did very well in the World Championship till he came up against Michael van Gerwen, made the statement in front of television cameras that it's time for van Gerwen to go home. And who went home? Peter Wright, in no uncertain manner. 4-1, I think it was. Of course, this is match play rather than set play. And Peter Wright is playing very, very well. Had a fantastic run in the European Championships. He's won a couple of Pro Tour events and now is regarded by his fellow competitors as a genuine contender and a real threat. Very much more respected now than he was perhaps a year or two ago. Even so, van Gerwen took care of him in the World Championships pretty easily. And I rather think here that whilst van Gerwen knows he's going to be in a tussle, I think he'll win it. And I'm taking the Dutchman to advance into the quarterfinals by 13 legs 13-8.
13-8 to Michael van Gerwen in the penultimate match on Wednesday evening. The final match, the closest match to call as far as the betting is concerned, John. It's Jamie Cavan versus Dave Chisnell, and 10-11 each of two.
Both of these players had scares in the first round. Cavan was well down against Wes Newton, but then, I think sensing that he had to do something or he was on his way home, he suddenly produced the darts that's brought him to the fore in the last year or so. And Wes Newton did nothing wrong. He was playing really, really well, averaging in the high 90s, 98. 99, and Cavan in the mid-80s, and deservedly losing by, well, he always managed to stay in touch. 6-3, he made it into 6-4, and it could easily have gone 7-3. Moments like that matter, and whenever it looked as though Newton might run away from him, he managed to win a leg and stay within two, then suddenly burst to life and managed to win with some fantastic darts. So he is genuinely a contender in this match. Dave Chisnall did the same against Paul Nicholson at one stage. Chisnall looked out of it. I think he was trailing something like 3-0 or maybe 4-0. Nicholson had it all in his own way. But then he found his stride, Chisnall, and came back and won it at the end. And reduced poor old Paul Nicholson, who's a great lad, you know, despite that front that he puts on, had him in tears. And the disappointment of losing at the World Match Play again in the first round, just too much for him. I think that Cavan and Chisnall will turn on a brilliant game. It's difficult to say who's going to win this because signs of Chizzy coming back to his best form. Jamie Cavan also throwing brilliantly. Ooh, let me see. It's a toss of the coin, this one, David. I'm going to go with Chisnall. But again, I think probably in extra time.
Extra time, Chisnall to win that match just. I suppose you can split your stakes here and back both of them to win in extra time.
I generally do, yes.
Yeah. And what do you think the best bet over the two nights is, John? Just to finish off.
What do I think the best bet over
The two nights, if you just had to have one bet?
If I just had to have one bet, I would back Justin Pipe at 5-2 to beat Raymond van Barneveld.
Yeah, good bet. Big price, isn't it?
That's the standout. It is a big price, yes.
John, enjoy first of all, your evening at Bangor, and then your evening commentating on the last match tonight, which is James Wade versus Gary Anderson. That should be a cracker. And I look forward to listening to you, John.
Thank you very much, David.